We will worship and then we will come back to you. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Worship. Three different passages that have to do with worship. So what is worship? Oh, I know. Worship is when we do like praise hymns or choruses and we worship. It's more than that. Well, worship is saying good things to our God. Yeah, but it's more than that. Well, I feel sort of uncomfortable saying so many good things about God. I mean, isn't it a prideful thing? No, it isn't. It's more than that. Have you ever seen an interview on TV for some person who was rescued by a fireman or fire person, they're just so grateful, and they bring them together, and the words are so precious, and thank you for saving my life. That's a little bit closer to what worship is of our Lord and our God. It's not a eulogy. It's more than that. It's not an introduction, a flowery introduction. It's more than that. It is a recognition of who God is and what he has done for us. And it's a beautiful thing. Well, I like to get past the worship part so I can get into the preaching part, because that's really what I enjoy. Well, you do a little bit of both at the same time. We're going to look at the topic of personal worship this morning. We'll consider, surprisingly, the blessings that come into our lives when we worship. The blessings that come into our lives when we worship. Let's begin with three questions and answers about worship. That's probably what you're thinking right off the bat. Number one, what is worship? What is it? Worship is something we as believers give to our God. It's what we give to our God. Alfred P. Gibbs, A.P. Gibbs, writes, "Salvation is something received by us as a free gift from God. Worship is something presented by us to God as a willing acknowledgement of our deep appreciation of what he is and all he has done." I like that. So why should we worship? We do sort of. I mean, it's part of our service, and there's our breaking of bread time, the Lord's Supper. We worship there, right? A primary reason for our salvation, get this, is that we would worship the Lord when we are saved. A primary reason for our salvation is that we would worship the Lord when we are saved. John MacArthur says, "Jesus said that the Son of Man came into the world to seek and save that which is lost. In John 4, he reveals the purpose for his seeking. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers." Interesting. You are saved for a lot of reasons, and they mean a great deal to you. And as we sung during the morning service, we talked about how the Father can claim these belong to him, you and me. But this is a different aspect that we might not think about. The Father seeks such worshipers to worship him. It's the ultimate priority. Hear God's call to his child. Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, as it is called sometimes, is in today's theological environment seen as a book that just tells you about a relationship between a man and a woman. The Jews themselves and more Puritan and early Christian theologians felt that it was a relationship between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews between a Jewish person and his or her God. So this quote from Song of Solomon 2:14 fits this why we should worship. Hear God's call in his child. He's calling his child. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. You remember God walking in the garden in the cool of the day? He was looking for Adam and Eve. Why do you worship? God seeks us to worship him when we find him as Savior. Well, what does worship do for the believer? You said that was a surprising thing. Yes. Worship blesses us as only the Lord can. Worship blesses us as only the Lord can. Quoting David Jeremiah in his book, My Heart's Desire, he writes, true worship pleases God, and when that happens, he blesses us in the deepest and most gratifying ways that our souls can experience. No matter what you bring to the Lord, no matter how deeply you sacrifice, you'll never give more deeply than the return he will bring. Simply because he delights in you when you delight in him. He will bless you, but he would also bless the world through you. He delights in us. I don't know why. Why would the creator of the universe want to hear my voice? I know who I am. Very flawed, very sinful, and yet Jesus Christ died to pay for my sin so that I could worship God and God could look forward to hearing my voice. You ever pray so much you figure, Lord, I know you're tired of hearing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. He delights to hear us. The side blessing is God blesses us as we worship. Let's look at Hebrews 1-9. That is the passage this morning, just 9 verses. And as the Holy Spirit works during the Lord's Supper this morning, our dear brother read Hebrews 1 and probably almost all of the verses. But let me read the whole thing, 1-9. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1-9. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. In speaking of the angels, he says he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. The source of our worship is the Scripture. We learn about our God, who he is, what he's like, and what he does by reading the Scripture. The Scripture also gives us a look at the blessings that come to us as we worship. What I've done is I've looked at these nine verses in terms of the attributes and accomplishments of the Father and the Son. I put them in a prayer format just to give you an idea, because I needed to do that. There's a Bible on the market that tries to pick up verses and turn them into prayers. That's what I tried to do here. This helps me, and maybe you, be more specific in my worship. I will also suggest the blessings as we go, because they're there. They're very evident, and they're based upon the attributes and accomplishments that we read. We'll first consider worshiping the Father and then the Son. We'll look at two categories for each. Okay, you'll understand as we get into it. Let's think of the Father and how we worship Him. The first category of worship is we worship the Father because He loves us. We worship the Father because He loves us. Again, I don't know why. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent Christ to die for us because the Father loved us, for God so loved the world. 1st prayer I suggest is in worship is, Dear Father, we praise You because You've spoken to us. Look at verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. The Lord communicated His word through the Jewish prophets in many different ways. Face to face, in visions, in dreams, but the message was conveyed. This Almighty God wants to communicate with us. That's a reason to worship Him. He wants to communicate. The Almighty God wants to speak to us. When you take that Bible, sometimes a little careworn over the years, and you open it, that's God speaking to you. It's your love letter every day, just to you. What's the blessing then? We are blessed because we have His Word. So many of God's saints, many of whom died in order to create the Bible that you have in front of you. And in our Bible, we can read the words and then obey the commands. Because if God's going to all this trouble over all of these years to convey His Word to us, we ought to listen. We're believers. We want to listen. We want to obey. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 reads, All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to serve the Lord? Listen, read the Word. The blessing comes. Dear Father, we praise You because You've spoken to us. The next worship point. Our God, we thank You that Your final message to us is Christ. Verse 2, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. God's ultimate word is His Son. Remember how John began his gospel? In the beginning was the right. All His words are summed up in Christ. Again, the worship service this morning, the communion service, we talked about how important it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He that has seen Me has seen the Father. There's a blessing that comes with it too. We are blessed because we know Christ is the only way to God. That's not what you hear today. Well, you have your way, I'll take mine. There's so many different ways. Let's not be dogmatic about it. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free. Acts 4:12 says, Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What a truth we know. God wanted to communicate with us. God sent His Son to us as the way of salvation. Another worship point. Father, thank You for bringing Your Son into the world according to Your plan. Verse 6, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world. You know, God planned to bring Christ into the world. The plan of salvation was from the foundation of the world. God had it planned. How did he know? He knows all things. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God in human flesh, Christ came as a man, and yet as the Son of God. Humanity and deity. The blessing, just as God planned that, I think he's smart enough to plan a life for you. I know it. The blessing is while we worship him for the plan to bring Christ into the world, we can look to him and say, I need a plan for my life, for tomorrow, for this week. Do not be conformed any longer, Romans 12:2 says, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How wonderful that that's the God we have to worship. We worship him and say, thank you for your plan of sending Christ. And he says, lean hard on me. The Holy Spirit indwells you as a believer. I'll show you the way. Our Father, we praise you for empowering the angels. Again, the scripture gives us the lead here. Verse 7, and speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. Well, there's a lot of talk about angels today. Angels are good guys. Angels are not judgmental. Angels are always there. Now, some of it may be true, but the most important thing is what the scripture teaches about angels. Angels are created by God, and they're ever ready to do God's bidding. Read the opening chapters of Ezekiel and see how God's angels jump to do his bidding. They're powerful servants. We can praise him for that. He created the angels. The blessing, we are blessed because we can count on their care of us. These powerful beings are sent to protect us in our life and then escort us home when we pass away. Hebrews 1:14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Hey, that's me. God protects us in a lot of different ways. We don't know the angel involvement, but we can see in Scripture what angels do. So beautiful. The next category is we worship the Father because he loves the Son. Dear God, you are Christ's Father, and he is your Son. Verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son, today I have become your Father, or again, I will be his Father, and he will be my Son? I can't explain the Trinity, but I know it's a beautiful thing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one, and yet unique. Christ calls the Lord Jesus his, God calls the Lord Jesus his Son. It's part of that amazing Trinity. We can worship the Father because he loves the Son. And the blessing, we too are sons of the Father. Well, aren't you going a little too far with that? Christ is the Son of the Father, not a believer. Au contraire, as they say. 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We're the children of God. K King James has the sons of God, children of God, men and women who know Christ as their personal Savior. They are the children of God. So we worship the Father because of the Son, and we enjoy the benefit of being sons and daughters of the Father. O God, you made the universe by your Son. Verse 2, through whom he made the universe. God made the universe by his Son. I don't understand the details of how that was done. God, by his Son, made the universe. All of creation, what you look out and see outside, whether it's winter, summer, spring, or fall, God has created all that by his Son. So we worship the Father because he made the universe by his Son. He loves his Son. And the blessing, we're created in the bodies he designed. Think about it. God the Father, by the Son. Psalm 139, 14 to 16. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. We're part of creation. Our own individual blessing, we worship the Father for creating by Christ. And then look at ourselves and realize we're fearfully and wonderfully made, as the expression is. Father, we rejoice that you appointed Christ as heir. You can say that in worship. The Son has been appointed heir by the Father. He is the future. The blessing, we're joint heirs with that Son. Incredible. So here we praise our God. We worship our God. And we step back a minute and we say, what's the blessing? We're joint heirs with Christ. We share Christ's inheritance as God's children. Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Is that great or what? What a blessing we have. You see how God does that? Surprisingly, there's a blessing that comes when we worship him. Should I actually say all of these things when I pray? As God motivates you, as the Spirit leads you, as the Scripture is open before you, praise him for these things. Our God, you commanded your angels to worship Christ. Verse 6, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Christ is the Son of God and deserves the worship of the angels in heaven. He is called God in Hebrews 1. Christ is part of the Godhead and deserves worship. The blessing for us, Hebrews 12, 28 to 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. So worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The angels can worship our God. We can too. The angels do. You read in the earlier passage, you heard in the earlier passage, holy, holy, holy. The same kind of thing that was said to in Isaiah's presence is said in the glorious future in Revelation 4 and 5. We see exactly what happens, and we can worship too. Oh God, thank you for giving joy to your Son for his obedience. Verse 9, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. God anointed his Son with the oil of joy because he obeyed. He came. He humbled himself. He gave himself on the cross. Christ left the ivory palaces, as the song says. He humbled himself to become a man. And the blessing, we may have Christ's joy as we obey his commands. Get this. John 15:10-12. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We praise him, we worship him for obedience. And he says, by the way, as you obey, you'll share in my joy. Quickly on, we consider the Son. We worship the Son because of who he is first. Verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. This again was referred to earlier. Christ is God the Son. The New Living Translation of verse 3 is the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Great. Yes, Philip, to see him is to see the Father. We praise you because you are God's reflection and likeness. And the blessing, you won't believe this. One day we will have the likeness of God's Son. 1 Corinthians 15:49, and just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, listen, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Incredible. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are superior to angels. Verse 4, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Christ is above the angels. The book of Hebrews talks about that Christ is superior in so many different ways. To Moses, to the old covenant, to the priests, to angels. Remember Christ in the garden? He could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't, because he was obeying God, but it shows his superiority to the angels. And what's the blessing? We must lift up our Savior. John's incredible experience with the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 1. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. We have the blessing of worshiping this God anywhere, anytime, any time of the day. O Lord, we are glad that you are righteous and hate wickedness. Verses 8 and 9 of Hebrews 1. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. The Lord Jesus Christ loves righteousness and is holy. He hates wickedness. The blessing? We are blessed because with God's power, we can kill sin in our lives. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. We are no longer slaves to sin. We follow sin because we want to, as Christians, free enough to dabble in the sin. But by the Holy Spirit and the power of God, we have victory. We worship God because he hates sin. He hates wickedness. The blessing is, by God's Spirit, we can do the same thing and kill sin, the misdeeds of the body in our lives. And lastly, we worship because of what he does. We worship the Son because of what he does. Savior, we praise you for creating heaven and earth. Again, God and the Son, talking about creation. Verse 10, he also says, in the beginning, O Lord, you'd laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. The Son directly involved in creating. He created the earth and the heavens, though it's been marred by sin over the years. Christ is the creative and brilliant designer of the world. and the universe. Just look at flowers. If you and I were making flowers, they'd probably all be gray or black or white. They wouldn't be different. They'd all be the same cookie-cutter approach. We're very mechanical, very methodical. Look at the creativity of our God. And the blessing? We are blessed because we can look forward to our new home. What's that? New home? The new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. It's waiting for us. And when we go to glory, by death or by rapture, we'll get to enjoy that creativity, that design by the Son. Isaiah 65, 17 and 18. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. How incredible. I just wanted to praise you. I just wanted to worship you, Father. I just wanted to worship you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you powerfully sustain the universe. Verse 3, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Christ's power sustains the universe. There's some who teach that once the universe was started, just cast off. And it was like the ever-ready bunny. It just kept running. It's fine. No need to help. But how wrong that is. Because our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, is worthy to be worshipped because he sustains the universe. Did you ever think of what power it takes to keep it running? We get upset when we hear about power going out in our house and we worry about our computers. And the blessing? We are able to worship, serve, and witness through the power of our Lord. His power sustains the universe. His power sustains me and you. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What a blessing. Unfortunately, we think we don't need it. I'm going to go see our family who's 400 miles away. No, that's all right. I'll walk. Crazy? You have a car. Get in the car. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Two more prayers. Lord, thank you for purifying us at Calvary. Verse 3. After he had provided purification for sins. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son, for what you did to purify me of my sins. Christ paid the penalty for our sin, purifying us through his death on the cross of Calvary. All our sin was placed upon him so that we could go free. We celebrate that when we come to the Lord's Supper. We can celebrate it in worship to the Son. Thank you for purifying us, Calvary. And the blessing? We must confess our sin regularly, claiming the promise of forgiveness and purification. We have that opportunity. Listen to John in 1 John 1, 8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Yeah, but I'm a pretty good Christian. No, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Yes, you've been saved. But like the foot washing, you get your feet dirty going from one house to the other. The sandals don't keep the dirt away. We need to have our feet washed, if you will. We need to confess our sin. And if we confess our sins, the deal is he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as the King James says. Savior, you sit at God's right hand. Oh, Lord, how wonderful. Lord Jesus, you sit at God's right hand. After he accomplished his work, he sat down. When the work of salvation was done, our Lord sat down at God's right hand. Well done to the Savior and closeness with the Father. But what's the blessing? The blessing is, as believers, we have access to the Father through the Son. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Do you realize that what's been accomplished at Calvary in our salvation? Now we're believers. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We're living our lives to please him. We want to pray. How do we pray? Through the Son to the Father. In Jesus' name. Worship the Father because he loves the Son. Worship the Father because God loves us. Worship the Son because of who he is, and worship the Son because of what he does. Just some guidelines for you. Look through the chapter again, at least those 9 verses in Hebrews 1. Use it as a guide for you, an impetus to pray. And when your heart is full at how wonderful God is, pick one or two of these things and worship him. And as you delight in him, he will delight in you, and the blessings will flow. Worship is hard. It's sacrifice, too. But as we sacrifice, we can still proclaim who God is, what he's done, and how much he means to us. David says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And before we end, let me just mention, we talked about purification for sins. You can't watch a doctor show on TV without seeing them cleansing their hands and making sure things are clean. The instruments must be sterilized. Everything has to be taken care of because we don't want any purification. Consider what you saw with the suits that the people wore dealing with patients who had the Ebola virus. We don't want any of that coming in. And there's a certain way you take the clothing off. Sin is far more lethal than the Ebola virus. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never believed that he died on the cross for you personally, you're infected with that virus of sin. There's treatment for that, right? Yeah, the treatment is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died to pay for that sin so that you could be purified. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ, I'm not sure. I just don't know. Make sure you do know. Make sure it's settled. If you're having a dispute with the IRS and the IRS sends you a letter and says, "You are all clear, everything is just fine," that letter will stay with you until you die. You don't want to take a chance. This is far more serious. Don't take a chance. When we pray, recognize that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin, that you personally want to receive it, that salvation, saved from the consequences of your sin, purified. And he'll do it. Then share it with one of the elders here. And then follow that word, and you can worship the Father and the Son as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how wonderful to know that worship is very critical in our Christian lives. Father, help us as you seek us. You love us. You want to hear our voice. Help us to read your word with that worship ear. looking for ways that we can worship you for who you are, what you've done, how much you love us. Build that relationship. And Father, may we see blessings in our lives as we recognize the truth that you would share with us as we worship. And Father, for those who know not Jesus Christ, or just not sure, not absolutely positive, Lord, may they receive Jesus Christ. May they say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sin. I want to be purified, sterilized from sin. May it be so for your name's sake today. Continue to bless this fellowship. Be with us as we go into this week. We will praise your name and honor you for who you are. In Christ's name, amen.